read Revelation chapter 12. Why don't we stand and read chapter 12? It's not but 17 verses. And I'll read the first verse and you read the second together. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars.
And she being with child cried, threatening birth.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads.
And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for the power of the child that soon is born.
And she brought forth a man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne.
And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels.
And they prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore.
And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death.
Therefore rejoice in heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath no short time.
And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child.
And to the woman were given 2 wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her nest, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent.
And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood.
And the earth held the woman, and the earth opened her mouth,
and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, for salvation. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to wrap all this up one of these days, and we'll be all worshiping you and glorifying you. And Lord, there'll be no more tears, no more crying, no more pain. All of these things that sin has caused. Now, Lord, give us wisdom today. If anybody here is lost, I pray that they'll be touched and that you will draw them to yourself and save their souls. All the rest of us that are saved, I pray you draw us close to you. Help us to order our lives aright. Help us to bring praise and honor to your name. And Lord, forgive us where we've failed you. Now bless this meeting. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated. A great wonder. Now, what we have in this chapter, we were having these seals opened up, and trumpets being blown, and you saw the destruction coming upon the earth as each of these things did. Now, this is the greatest time of tribulation according to Jesus Christ, what he said, and I read you those verses. the greatest that ever has been or ever shall be. Now, that's pretty bad. When we think of the Holocaust and we think of the millions in Russia that died, or the millions in China that died, and all because of some dictator or whatever, and then the Jews that died under Hitler. So it's pretty bad if that's what it is. And that's what we're describing. That's what this passage here is going to describe. This is an interlude in the sequence of things. You have these seven seals, and then you have these seven trumpets, and then so on down the line. We're going to get to seven vials and whatever. These are describing this great period of time. You know what it ought to do to you? It ought to make you scared enough to trust Christ. Yeah, I know some of you say you got him because he was so full of love. Well, that's true. But to tell you the truth, I was scared of hell. And I had a friend die just right there, 21 years old. And I was almost living like I wasn't going to die. You know, you don't think about death when you're a kid like that. And so it brought my fear of hell. I said, man, I don't want to go there. And I repented of my sins. It brought me out. Well, what are you? And then I got convicted that I wasn't such a good old guy after all. And that I'd been living sin, and I had enough sins to send me to hell. So, praise the Lord. This is a very scary thing. A great wonder in heaven. Now, he's backing off from the time sequence destructions that we were reading about in the other chapters. And all of a sudden, he comes back and he shows us these personages, these people. That's what this chapter is about. It's about certain great personages during this time, the people. It says they appeared, a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of seven stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Look at the woman right now. Nearly everybody that you look at will say this woman is Mary. Now, it looks like it from about the first 5 verses, because Mary is the one that gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have a description of this woman. This woman is going to have, clothed with the sun, moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, we have this coming for you. We got the clothed with the sun, 12 stars, moon under her feet, and she gives birth to Christ. Now, who would you say that is? Mary, most of the time, Mary. The largest interpretation of that you're going to find in any of your commentaries that you'd go into, it'll be Mary. And Mary is the one that gave birth to Jesus Christ. That's right. But when we get to the end of the chapter, you're going to find that's not true. This is really not talking about Mary, other than that she was the individual woman who gave the body to the Lord Jesus Christ and was his birth mother. But the other parts in here prove that it can't be her. So just hang on with me on that point right there. It is Mary to a sense, up to the point where Christ is taken up into heaven. You remember Mary outlived the Lord Jesus Christ. But at any rate, there is a verse. Look back in Genesis. Why don't you look there? Turn to Genesis 37 and verse 9. Genesis 37 verse 9. Jacob is who it's talking about. Joseph is who it's talking about. And he dreamed yet another dream, told it to his brethren. And behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Isn't that the same thing as what we're reading about right here? Back when Joseph was dreaming, who was this? The son probably met his father and his mother, And the 11 stars made obeisance to him. That's all the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. So I think you're going to see as we go through this and get to the end that what you have here is the woman is Israel. Now the woman could be Mary, could be the church, or it could be Israel. Now what about the church? Did the church give birth to Jesus Christ? No, we're born from him. The church comes out of Jesus Christ, not giving birth to him. Well, did Mary? Yes, she gave birth to him. But when you think about these sun, moon, 11 stars, and we get the time period that's going in here, it's not going to fit. So I think it will be pretty obvious to you by the time we finish the chapter that it's Israel. He's talking about Israel there. Okay? Now, a few verses to show. Look at Micah 5:2 if you want to. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee, out of Bethlehem, shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting. That's Jesus Christ. So he said he comes out of Bethlehem. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And then in Hebrews 7:14, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. So, of which the tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. So what we're looking at here is the relationship of Judah. Why were these Jews prepared back in Genesis for this particular moment to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Jews, by the way, are going to rule the world for 1,000 years, going to be the number one country in the world. Christ will reign, and he'll reign over the nation of the Jews. Now, think about this for a minute. Do you know any Mohicans? You heard the book, The Last of the Mohicans? That's why there aren't any Mohicans now. They've all just been absorbed. There has been no people anywhere in the world that has been persecuted like the Jews. I don't care. You just look back. They've been persecuted over and over and over again. And they're still not like that much today. A lot of places around the world, they're really hard on Israel. They don't like anything going good for Israel. And you think of the fights they had. But they're still a Jewish race. Now, most of them don't even pay attention to them. Most of them are absolute atheists. Now, there's some religious Jews, but they don't accept Christ. Then there is a group of Jews that do accept Christ, and they're Jews and Christians, and got a little bit of a mix up there. But what I'm telling you is, all the other things, have you seen any Hittites lately? What tribe hasn't disappeared that was persecuted or run up? The Jews. I think they're a peculiar thing in nature. They are the people of God for his own purposes. At this present time, they're not really serving God. Some of them don't even believe in God. But I'll tell you what, God's going to have a revival among the Jews, and that's what the book of Revelation is telling you about. All of it there. Okay, so my opinion here, starting off at verse 1, is that Israel will rule the world under Christ, and the woman is Israel. Now, Israel gave birth to Christ, and so that's what I think that's showing there. And I think the rest of the chapter will bear me out there. Now look, if you will, at verse 3. We got another personage here. Okay. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a big, great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon the heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. It's the devil. It's the devil. Now, he's a great red dragon. Did you believe dragons were just a figment of somebody's imagination? Have you thought about what the big thing is in China? China worships dragons. They have all of these celebrations and whatever, and people dressed up as a dragon going through, and it's a long thing. And he's called a snake. Satan. Now, it's a wonder he says a great red dragon. Now, that'll give you a nightmare. You ever had a nightmare with a great red dragon coming after you? Well, you ought to have, because the great red dragon is after you. You ever thought about that? He really is. You're not dealing with just people. You know, people are hard enough to deal with. As we know, two people getting married, supposedly loving each other, vowing to stay together forever, and how many of us are divorced? And how many divorces are out there? And so the young people today are not even getting married. They're just shacking up, living together, and thinking it's all right. Well, it's not all right. Amen or oh me.
Amen.
It's not all right. And I'm not trying to pick on any of you that have been divorced. Not at all. A lot of us make a lot of mistakes. And if I hadn't had such a good wife, I'd have probably been divorced. But she was one that could stick with me and hang in there. And I'm thankful that's the truth. At any rate, this great red dragon is the symbol of the devil. Now, how did we meet the devil in Genesis? A serpent. Now, he must have been some kind of serpent. A serpent that talked. A serpent that walked. And, wow. Well, serpent's sort of a long, swivelly thing. A dragon's sort of the same type of thing. And so the great red dragon stands for the serpent. Stands for the devil. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. How much influence does he have? As I was starting to say about people, it's hard for us to get along. All of us are individuals. All of us are emotional. All of us think we're right. Anybody thinks they're wrong all the time? I want to see a hand. Nobody thinks, no, you don't, you liar. You'll fight me at every chance. I raised 5 kids. I raised them very independent. They had to make all their own decisions. And so they stood up to me and gave me their opinions and whatever. And then I said, no. Not always. Not always. We have a hard time getting along. You know one of the problems? You got an enemy. It's not just you. It's not just your personality. It's not just your background. The devil has something to do with that. Or all of his angels. Remember what he said? His tail. I think the tail would stand for his influence. Can you imagine when this anointed cherub, and we'll read that in a minute, over the throne of God, the greatest created being of all time, the greatest created being wants to be God. And he influenced a third of the angels of heaven. That's some power. I do good to influence 10 of you. He influenced a third of the angels. That's where your demons come from. As the anointed cherub became the devil, the big red dragon, so these angels of God that rebelled with the devil and went with him, they become the demons and the devils. And all the problems that happen because of them in this world. Now, you and I are not just fighting each other. You're not just arguing with your wife or with your husband. You're arguing with spiritual forces that affect us. And if you don't go by the Word of God, what do you have to trust? Your own feelings, your own thinking. And by the way, isn't that sort of narrow? mine are narrow. And I've dealt with 60 years I've been dealing with people. I still got a narrow focus. I still got things I think are right. I got things that I want to do. And this doctor that abused all those Olympic young kids, I think the prisoner's going to kill him when he gets in jail. They don't like people messing with kids, even the prisoners, bad as they might be. And I think he ought to. I think it's right. Good night. People that take a little baby and abuse it sexually? People that take a child and put their cigarettes out on him with burnings on them? What is the depravity we have here? Is it just us? I think it's us influenced by the devil. I really do. So this great red dragon that we have here says right here, he has 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. And what do you think about that? What do these represent? Power? Influence? Oh yeah. He's got a lot of power and a lot of influence. And when you compare this with the book of Daniel, wow. It's amazing how they just dovetails and fits in with Daniel's prophecy. We'll read it in a little while. But at any rate, influence a third of the angels of heaven, and they all fell with him. Okay. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Well, that happened with Mary. Christ is born, and the devil tries to kill Christ through Herod. And so Herod, can you imagine a man in his 60s worrying about a child being born that's going to take over the kingdom? It doesn't even make sense to me. You know, unless you're looking for your children are going to keep being kings on down the line, you know. What's this old man, this old king, worried about a baby being born? But he did, and that's the way people think. Look around at the world today, and there are a lot of places you would not want to live. There are a lot of places I wouldn't want to live. As far as I'm concerned, I'm in the best place you could possibly be, and probably the best place that ever was for us, for freedom, for knowledge, for education, for finances, for comfort, for medical stuff like this. We're in this big bubble. It's called the United States. And though it's got a lot of things that make it imperfect, but bless your heart, it's the best place I know. You get mad at here, you don't like the president, or you don't like the Congress, you don't like what they're doing. Well, just go and live somewhere else. How about Haiti? Why don't you take a one-way trip to Haiti? Or go everywhere you want to go. Go down to Venezuela. I've heard a few things about Venezuela. And some of these other places that are ruled by these little dictators that want to be a world ruler. They want to conquer everybody else. Wasn't it Imelda Marcos that had 7,000 pairs of shoes? That's just off the top of my head. I could be wrong on that, but she had a lot of shoes, I think. All right. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. All right, now that's Mary. What we're looking at here very definitely is Mary. She brought forth a man-child. He's supposed to rule all nations. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. When was he caught up? Probably about 30 AD, could be 28. Out of the numbers that you have in your Bible, most of the scholars think that it's off about 5 years, 4 or 5 years, that he was. We're trying to date year one as the day that Christ was born, or the year that Christ was born. But actually, they think it was about 4 or 5 BC. Okay? So if that's the case, and he dies at 33, then you take 5 off of that, it's 27, 28. Now, is that when he died? When he was caught up to heaven? Isn't that right? Okay. Now look at something. And the woman fled into the wilderness. where she hath a place prepared of God. They should feed her there 1,203 days. Now we're back to the 3.5 years. 1,260 days of 30-day months is 3.5 years. We've had 3.5, 3.5, 1,260s, 3.5. You see, the tribulation period that we're studying from actually chapter 6 of Revelation to chapter 20 of Revelation is a 7-year period. And it's divided into 3.5. Sometimes the problem is deciding which 3.5 is it coming into. You understand? And sometimes when you're thinking about John and what he's teaching you about Revelation, you need to know where is he looking from? Is he on heaven looking down? Is he in heaven looking out? Or is he on the earth looking up or looking out? And that'll make a difference in the way that you have to interpret it. Okay. Brought forth a man child. He was caught up to God in his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness. Wait a minute. We're back up into Revelation. Look at that. You're at the birth of Christ. You're at the death of Christ. Then right here, with not even a and or but, and you drunk 2,000 years at least, maybe more. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and they should feed her 1,203 days. 3.5 years, she's going to be protected and fed by God. That's in the middle of the Revelation. Do you see? You go from Mary and the life of Christ and to Christ's ascension into heaven. And then all of a sudden, between chapters 5 and 6, 2,000 years at least. And that's, you got to watch that in the Bible. I know there are a couple of commas in Isaiah that'll throw you for a loop. Thousands of years. And all it is there is a comma. Okay? All right. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Hey, there's plenty of wars coming. I had 3 grandsons that fought in these last recent wars. Iraq and Afghanistan and whatever. I did a lot of praying because I didn't fight those. I was a peacetime soldier. I almost quit high school and joined the Marines to go to Korea. And then I thought, I got one more season of football to play. I think I'll just play that season of football. And by the time I got out of high school, Korea was over. Johnny had stopped the whole war. Now, I'm a peacetime soldier. You had a hard time making rank, and like I said, I guarded a prisoner one time without a bullet. I had a automatic 30 caliber M1, no bullets. And the prisoner that I was guarding knew I had no bullets because nobody on the whole base had bullets. Except it was the air police, you know. Only time we got bullets is when they took us to the range and we could fire. One time I went out to the range, they scheduled me for it, they took up my work time, and I went out with one sergeant, me and an old sergeant went out there. I was a 2-stringer, and nobody was there. But there was a case of bullets. Oh, we had a good time. I had an M1 carbine, 30 caliber, and it had a banana clip, Hell 30. I put that banana clip to use. I probably ruined that gun. At the birds that were along the thing. When the guy finally came up, he said, "What did you do with all my ammunition?" We shot it. Now, what we have here, it says there was war in heaven, and his angels fought against the dragon, Michael and his angels. Michael is the angel that stands for the nation of Israel. And his angels fight against the dragon. That's the devil. The dragon fought and his angels. So that's a pretty big war. There's a war in heaven. I don't know what's happening on the earth during this time, but I tell you what, they got something really going here. The devil prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused him day or night. There are four falls of Satan in the Bible. If you want to look at the verses, turn to Ezekiel 28:14 for the first fall of Satan. Satan was not a normal angel. He was the greatest created being, I think, that God ever made. And he was the head, and the Bible calls him the anointed cherub that covereth. So those four cherubs, seraphs, that you read about in the Revelation that are around God all the time, the devil, I think, was above. And he was the highest one. Okay. Look at Ezekiel 28:14. We'll read 14 through 16. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. See, he's a created being. He's not God. Till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. That's the first fall. Satan is exalted. He's the highest created being. He's wants to be God. That's what a lot of people want. You say, no, you lie. You want to be God. You want to make up your own mind. Have you ever heard somebody say, I wouldn't worship a God that had a living hell? I've heard that. Well, you want to make up your own God. If you don't find and believe the God of this Bible as he's presented, then you're making an idol. You are making your own God up. And you don't, I think Christians all over the world, they put their own attitude, their own mind above the Word of God. They don't know the Word of God that well. That's a trouble with a whole lot of Christians. We sell an awful lot of Bibles, but a lot of people set them on the shelf and take them up for Sunday every once in a while. Take them to church or whatever, and they read it. Maybe they read a little bit every day, but they never really get into it. And you know what? They're making up their own God. They've got a God that does this and God that does that. I've had people ask me about animals. Will my little dog be in heaven? I know you love your dog. I have no idea whether your dog will be in heaven or not.
No dogs in heaven.
I agree with him. They're just animals. You're different. The animals have a soul. They have a soul. And I love them. I'm a dog man. I love my dogs. I got a blue heeler now, about 6.5 years old, about 70 pounds. And he is still just as active as can be. He'll jump on you, put his claws on you. I wear gloves when I play with him, because he can just cut me up, you know. And he bites me, but he's biting me so little. I know he's holding so far back, and it hurts me. He's treating me nice, you know. You understand? He's grabbing on my hand. He loves to fight and wrestle and whatever. I don't think he'll go to heaven if he dies. I don't think so. I don't think heaven was made for that. But there are pet cemeteries all over this country. There are pet funeral services. They're animals. You got something they don't have. Maybe the Spirit of God. I don't know. But at any rate, that's the first fall of Satan. Look at Revelation 12, 9. Turn over to chapter, well, here it should be at chapter 12. Right here. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now that's what we're reading about right here. Michael, who is one of the top angels of heaven, and the angel that stands for Israel, and his angels is going out to fight with the devil and his angels up in the heavens. Now, who's going to win? Michael. Michael's going to win. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to take the devil and say, "Oh boy, boom! You're stuck on the earth." He fell, first of all, from being the anointed of God, the anointed cherub of God. He fell down to being a devil. But he's been able to walk up around. He was able to walk on the earth to talk to Eve. He was able to talk about Job. He was able to enter into the councils with God. He was still all out there. Now then, right here, in Revelation 12, 9, he's cast to the earth. There was a woe. Now, they said, terrible thing for the woe that's going to come. What's that woe? The devil's going to be on the earth, bound on the earth. He can't leave it. You're going to cast him down to the earth at this passage right here in Revelation 12, 9. He's not here now. He's here, and he goes there, and he goes all around and whatever. I've used an example many times. I don't want to go to jail ever. I've visited a lot of jails. I've preached and witnessed to a lot of people in jails. I used to have a regular jail ministry. Murderers, thieves, drug addicts, dope heads, all sorts of things. It's not a nice place to be. You know, there's some places that, there's some people I really don't want around me. Aren't you the same way? You love everybody? God may, but I don't. I got a problem with that. I have to pray about my love a whole lot of time because I despise some things. You got anything you despise? Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll bet you do. I bet if I talked with you for a little while, you'd come over and say, "Oh no, I don't want to hang around with them. I don't want them in my house. In fact, I'm so ornery, I don't want anybody in my house. Since my wife left me, I don't want anybody in my house. I'm there by myself. And I like it that way." All right. What do you think would be a big woe about the devil was cast out, that old serpent, the devil and Satan, cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him? It's not that way now. As bad as it seems to you, it's not that way now. It's going to be. This is during the tribulation period. And the world is going to have Satan running a rampage and all of his angels, his devils, doing it with him. That's a big woe. That's a big woe. You better go out and get everybody you can saved. Anybody you have any love for at all, you bring them to the revival meeting. You talk to them. You give them some gospel tracts. You bring them. Take them out to eat. Do whatever you have to do. Get them saved because they don't want to go through this. They don't believe it. They think I'm absolutely out of my cotton-picking mind. But this is a fantastic book. And this book of Revelation is a fantastic part of it. It's the only prophecy book in the New Testament. All the other prophecies in the Old Testament. But if you had really studied Daniel and then put Revelation in on that part that Daniel shut up, you got the history of the world before it happens. Now, the third fall of Satan, look at Revelation 20, chapter 20, verse 1. Here's the third fall of Satan. Now, he's confined to the earth, and he and his devils are confined to the earth at this present time. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. He went from the throne of God to be bound on the earth. He spent his time on the earth. Then an angel came and got him and put him in the bottomless pit. Hell. A part of hell. The bottomless pit. Now look at chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. They're still there. The beast and the false prophet are still there. Into the lake of fire and brimstone shall be eternal day and night forever. He goes into hell. He was over the throne of God. He's cast out of the throne, his position there. He's got access to heaven and earth. He's running all around all these years. Then Michael takes him and he casts him out of heaven and restricts him to the earth. Him and all of those angels. I don't know how many they are, but there are a bunch. According to my understanding, there are millions of angels. I don't know. They're cast to the earth. And then, in Revelation 20, he's put in the bottomless pit. He's held there. He's bound there for 1,000 years. That's the 1,000-year reign of peace. That's the beginning of the throne, the reign of God in Jerusalem. And he's going to go for 1,000 years. But at the end of the 1,000 years, he gets another fall. And he's put in the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet, which were in the tribulation, still are. They've been in there 1,000 years. They're still there. I don't like hell. I really don't. It bothers me. But I tell you what, it's what the Bible says. And it scares the living daylights out of me. Somebody said, you'd like to scare us. Yes, I would. If I could, I would. If I could scare you enough for you to repent and call upon God, I would be tickled pink. I really would. Well, I guess I'm going to have to stop right here and come back to this 3 months from now.